Our first reading is from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. The second reading is from Ezekiel 21 through 28. And say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from all around and bring them back into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. There will be one king over all of them, and they will never be two nations or be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols and vile images or with any of their offenses. For I will save them from all their sinful backsliding, and I will cleanse them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I have gave my servant Jacob, and the land where your ancestors lived. They and their children and their children's children will live there forever, and David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers. I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. From Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 9. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said, They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for gathering us here together today. We ask, Lord, that you speak to your people and speak through me. Touch the hearts that are here today, Lord, and the ones that are online. Amen. So, interestingly, we hear from Mary. Now, there are two Marys there. The Mary is Mary of Magdalene, and then you got the other Mary. The other Mary, at least in my Bible, my study Bible, it said that it wasn't Jesus' mother. It said it could have been James and John's mother, but either way, there were two Marys at the tomb. Now, let's put this into perspective of what has been going on. So, Mary of Magdalene has been with Jesus since roughly when he brought all of those disciples together. She was with them. She saw him. She saw him do miracles. She saw him literally telling people that he is the Son of God and to let him be their God. And so for however many years she was with him, she heard all of his teachings, all the things that he's spoken, the things that he's done, the things that he's going to do even after his death, the second coming, all of it. And then Jesus died on the cross. And today is a day of rejoicing, but we also need to think about what Jesus did on the cross as well. Because imagine someone that you were with all of your life, and then to see them die on a cross. And actually, what happened to Jesus was actually illegal. So the Pharisees actually went against their own laws to crucify him. Pilate even said, this man has done nothing wrong. He doesn't deserve this. He hasn't done anything. Pilate called him bad names, but either way, he didn't deserve the death. And so we see Mary, we see the disciples, and what looked like all hope was lost, it actually wasn't lost. For they didn't quite understand what Jesus was talking about. I think it's easy sometimes that we hear that Jesus is going to do all these great things. He's going to be the king over our nation. They're like, yeah, he's going to die. And then all of a sudden he does it and they're just like, what? I thought you said you're going to be king over us. I thought you said you were going to do all these great things and you died. They saw him put in the tomb. Joseph took him, wrapped him in linen, and put him in the tomb. And so when that stole rolled back, imagine their reaction that would have happened. They would have thought that, oh my gosh, someone must have done this. This wasn't Jesus. Who did this? Who took this tomb away? And they were so afraid. One, they were afraid because they probably thought they were going to die because the guards were there. They were going to be hunted. And then they were afraid that, you know, what was going to happen to them? Interesting. And then we see in Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel got a vision. So what you heard wasn't necessarily, it was a vision. So it was a dream. The Lord has been speaking to Ezekiel, and he had this dream. He had this dream of God's hand was upon him. God's hand was upon him. And so he brought Ezekiel into this valley. Now, if you don't know what a valley is, a valley seems pretty bad, right? If you think about it, you can see valleys are not that great. But actually, a valley is actually a time of rejoicing. It's a good thing. It's a time of peace, restoration. And so he brought him through this valley. And then what he sees in the valley are his own people. All right? Now, Jews back in the day, they took burial very, very seriously. And just like in the military back then, you know, you go back and you take care of your dead. You pick them up. However long it takes, you take them and you actually give them a proper burial. And so seeing not only his own people, but the Judeans, their old bones were just scattered everywhere. And so it just looked really, really bad. And like, how can my people have been done this to them? Who would have done this? And back then, burial was very important. And how you buried someone was very, very sacred to them. And so to see that must have been just morbid and very, very heartbreaking to see his people treated that way. And so he's bringing Ezekiel through this time, kind of like Mary. They both are seeing death. They both have seen their people mistreated. And he's walking them through this time. And both of these, Mary and Ezekiel, are both looking at death, emptiness, hopelessness, and despair. Like, all hope is lost. There is nothing that could ever be done. And so God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? Can you live? Is there death after? Is there life after death? Well, of course there's life after death. Jesus rose from the grave. He proved it. He did it on the cross for you. He did it for me. He did it for all of you and everyone online. He did it for you too. And he would do it again. It's amazing. And that is what I want to talk to you about today. Live. It's been done. There is no more despair. There is no more hopelessness. He did it. That tomb that was rolled away, it is open. It's not closed. Your tomb, it is not closed. It is open. Amen? Amen. And so you see Mary, and I think all of us can agree that we all have felt like Mary, where we all were just looking in this tomb, we're looking in our grave, and we're like, man, there is nothing good that can come out of this. I've been stuck back here. Jesus can't do that for me, but he can. Because he did it. His blood is on the cross. It was paid for. He died for it. He died for you. He died for me. He paid a sinner's death that he did not deserve so you could live. To live. And so in Ezekiel, we see that as God was bringing them life, they didn't quite yet, though, have the Spirit. So they had this physical life, and I think all of us can say that we've been physically alive, but we just haven't been spiritually alive, right? Trust me, I've felt that many, many times in my life. And even after being saved, there are still times where you just feel like you're spiritually dry, and there's just something inside you where you just need a new life, you need a rebirth. And this is what Jesus does for us. This is what his death did for us. This is what his resurrection proved. And so in my study Bible, it talked about these four things that happened after the grave. One of them being how Jesus proved it historically. So when the stone rolled away, the stone didn't roll so Jesus could leave. Jesus was already gone. He already ascended. The stone was rolled away to prove what he did. Did you catch that? So Jesus was already gone before the stone was rolled away. And then the stone rolled away. The angel came down and said, hey, guess what? He already ascended, but I'm going to roll this away just to prove what he did. It's pretty funny. And it's really cool. Because I don't think you'd understand just how heavy that stone actually is. So I like to work out. Now, there's only been, at least from what I've known, a couple guys that have ever lifted anything 1,000 pounds or over. And there have been two people that have done it. Now, that's 1,000 pounds, all right? And the guy that did it actually, so there's lots of pressure. What happens when you're lifting something? If you don't breathe right, you can start to, blood will start rushing to your head. And this guy actually passed out and had to be, like, brought back to life because he actually was about to die from lifting that much weight. That's 1,000 pounds. And one guy picked it up from the ground. Now imagine a stone that is 2,000 pounds. There is no way that back then any man could have pushed that stone. It wouldn't matter if it was 5 people, 10 people, that stone was high. There was absolutely no way that any man could have done it. That's why it's historically proven why Jesus rose from the grave. because there is no way that any man could have ever pushed that stone. Okay? You catch that? And that's what he did. He proved it. He proved historically that he rose from the grave. And he did it. And he'd do it again for all of us. Because after death, there is life. Figuratively, and literally, there is death after life. So this death, this despair that we are feeling here, there is life. Because he already did it. So in John 1:17 says that it is already given. Grace has already been given. You hear me? It's already been given. There is nothing more that you have to do. No amount of money that you have to pay. No amount of work that you have to do. It's given to you. He did it. He did it right there on the cross. It was paid for you. There's nothing that you have to do for it except give your life to him. Accept him in your heart. And I have to too. There are times when even I, and I would imagine other preachers, we have to too. Because there's life, and we get to live. We get to live because he died. We get to live because he died and he rose again. We get to live. We are made one with him. That's what Ezekiel and Mary were showing to us. Ezekiel saw his brothers being made one, bringing together one with him. His sanctuary is with us forever. That forever doesn't just stop at the death of Jesus. Forever is forever. Forever is forever, and that transcends death. He is with us. We are one with him. We are united with him. You are all my brothers and sisters. And we get to live as one with him, not just physically, but spiritually we are made one with him. That's what Ezekiel was showing you. You are made one with him. He saw his brothers being made one. And then, just like Mary, can you imagine getting that vision and then having to go tell your people that, hey, guess what? We're going to live again. We're going to do this again. Mary having to go to the disciples. Now, she was a woman. And back then, honestly, women were not treated very well. But Jesus used women a lot in the Bible. And he used Mary to bring a message to the disciples. Imagine what she was thinking. So I get to tell you, I get to tell these guys that Jesus is living. How are they going to believe me? I can't prove it. All I got to do is just tell them. It's like the woman at the well. She ran to the people in her town to tell them all the good news of who Jesus is and what he came to do. And so just like Ezekiel, now before, Ezekiel had brought messages to his people. So he was a prophet, like the other prophets back then, and they spoke to their people. But could you imagine to a people that seems like all hope was lost, that he gets to go bring them hope, and they before didn't do it? They before didn't listen? But just like Ezekiel showed us, this time they did listen. There was a response. And that was that rattling sound. They responded. They were listening. And they became physically alive. But then when he prophesied, because we have that same power, right? Because Jesus died, that same, the Holy Spirit that rolled the stone away, that lives in you and that lives in me. You see, we get to speak to our grave. We get to tell our dry bones to come alive. You get that? We get to do that because of him, because of what he did for us. We don't have to stay stuck. All this garbage that's back here, it's been bought for. It's been paid for on the cross. Jesus died for us, so we get to live in him. And so They were afraid. Mary was afraid. Ezekiel was afraid. The other Mary was afraid. They were afraid that, you know, they could die on the way, right? The guards were sent to go find them. They were supposed to round them up and they were supposed to kill them. And they were afraid. They were also afraid that they probably wouldn't have been accepted, that what they were saying, these men wouldn't have listened to them. And so Jesus met them on the way. On the way, he met them. And they collapsed at his feet and worshiped him. And he told them again, don't be afraid. Right? In verse 10 in that chapter, Jesus told them to go tell his disciples. So again, two times they were told to go do something. That reassurance. There's no fear. Jesus takes all that fear away. All that pain, he takes it away. All that despair, all that death, it is gone. It is paid for. It is no more. We are united with him. We are brought together as one with him, one family, right? This church, other churches, we are one. There is no difference. We may be Lutheran, that church may be Catholic, Pentecostal, whatever. We're one. That doesn't matter. We are one with him. When we accept Jesus into our heart, we get to live with him. We get to live as one with him and with others. That's amazing. That's what he did. We get to live. We don't have to stay stuck in our grave. That stone, it's rolled away. You don't have to do anything for it. It's rolled back. Come out of your grave. You don't got to stay stuck there anymore. You don't have to stay back there anymore. It's gone. It's rolled back. It's been done. It's been paid for. It's been bought for you. His blood has been paid for. This isn't a time of despair. This isn't a time where we cry, where we stay stuck. This is a time of rejoicing. His death is rejoiceful. It's sad, but it's rejoiceful. And that is what the valley was. It was a time of rejoicing. It was a time of rejoicing when everything looked around him like this is just no time for rejoicing. This is sad. This is despair. How can I even rejoice in all of this? But that's what God was leading him through. He's leading through him this time of rejoicing. His hand was over him. You get that? His hand was over him. And his hand is over us. And Jesus is over us, guiding us. That's the death. That's the resurrection that Jesus did for us. There was nothing we have to do for it. Do we get that? You don't have to do anything. I know the Scandinavian in us tells us we have to work for it, right? Pick yourself up by your bootstraps, work for your stuff. But you don't have to. You don't have to keep working so hard to achieve something that's already been given to you. There's no amount of money that you have to give him. He's already done it for you. It's already given to you. Accept it. He's already given it. He's already done it. It's for us. I get to live. You get to live. We all get to live. It's amazing. That's the death. That's what Jesus does for us. We get to live. We're united. Ezekiel and Mary both were just looking at a situation that was just death, hopelessness. But God's hand was guiding them through it all. He was right there with them. Even when Mary couldn't see Jesus, clearly he was with her. Because he met her right in the middle. So he was with her. Just like Ezekiel, God was with him the whole time, every step of the way, just with him, guiding him. His hand was over him. And he got to speak to a people that he thought would never have listened, would never have heard his word. Mary went to the disciples thinking that, man, there is probably no way that these men are ever going to listen to me about living. How can I do that? And Jesus said, greetings. right in the middle, interrupted whatever that was going on. He said, "Greetings, hello, I'm here." And they collapsed and they worshiped him. That's amazing. But that's what his resurrection is all about. Living with him, being united with him. And just like that promise in Ezekiel verses 21 through 28, he is with us forever. Forever he is with us. His sanctuary is with us. He was brought and made us one, that we'd be one nation. Now, yes, he was talking to the Israelites and the Judeans, but this is for us too. We are made one with him. One nation. We get to live knowing that he has died and rose again. Because if you're looking for reassurance, if you're looking for hope, if you're looking for life, look to the cross and live. Amen.